Rav Kook argues that in Gemara there are two parts. There's Shmaitza, the discussions of Halacha, and there's Agadita. Agadita are things like explaining a Pasuk, stories, legends. And Rav Kook believes that within all of the Agadita, there is a lot of philosophy. And so Rav Kook's proposal, one of his novel ideas, is that let's try to study the philosophy in depth. And perhaps by studying the philosophy in depth, we'll be able to reach our generation. That's what he felt. And, you know, another aspect of it is that Agadita makes a person more emotionally sensitive. And so perhaps through studying the Agadita, people will become more emotionally sensitive, more stronger in their emuna. And Rav Kook starts to write a book on Agadita. There's a traditional collection of the Agados of Shas called Ein Yaakov. So Rav Kook starts with the Ein Yaakov, and he starts to write a commentary of his own on the Agaditas. He didn't get very far. He started in the year 1902, when he was still in Boisk. He started what we're going to learn, Masechta Brachos. And when he moved to Israel, he continued, and he got till Daf Kuf Ches in Masechta Shabbos, which he completed in 1934, 32 years later. But he didn't go, didn't get to finish all of Shas, which was his goal. So let's learn now some of these commentaries of Rav Kook. To some degree, they're a little bit easier than some of the other writings of Rav Kook, because in many ways, the commentaries of Rav Kook to Agadita are sort of a traditional rabbinic style. The traditional rabbinic style is you have a text, you have some problems in the text, and then you come up with an answer for the problems, which also teaches a lesson. In many of Rav Kook's other writings, he's just sharing with you what he feels. So there's no text, there's no question, there's no answer, it's just a flow of feelings. And that can be somewhat frustrating, you know, where did it start, where does it end, what does it all mean? But in the Agadita, it's sort of more compact. So let's start here at the top of the page. It's the text of the Gemara. Masechta Brachos begins, the first Masechta in Shas, begins with the topic of Kriyat Shema. Which is interesting. Like, why begin Shas with Kriyat Shema? You know, why maybe begin Shas with keeping Shabbos? That's Emuna and Hashem. Or begin with, the man obligations like Pirkei Avot. But that's not where Shas begins. Shas begins with Kriyat Shema. So why does it begin with Kriyat Shema? So one of the classical answers is that it's the way of Shas to always start with the mitzvah that comes first. So let's take Masechta Shabbos begins with the issues of Friday afternoon. Don't carry things on Friday afternoon. You might forget, and even on Shabbos you'll be carrying, you'll end up carrying into a public domain from a private domain. Megillah, Masechta Megillah deals with not only do you celebrate Purim on the 14th, but in small villages they would celebrate earlier. So it starts with the earlier date. So everything always starts in its chronological order. So when we talk about the oral Torah, and we talk about our obligations, the first obligation is when a boy or a girl becomes bar mitzvah. So the first obligation is when they reach the age, and the boy reaches 13, the girl reaches 12. So when do they become adults? The night of their birthday. So the first obligation, their first mitzvah, is the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Because that's the mitzvah at night, b'shach b'chov kumecha. So we start with the first obligation, which is the obligation of Kriyat Shema. Another aspect to that, this is all in a book called Sha'arma Mitzuyanim Bahalacha. Kriyat Shema is a constant mitzvah, because the real mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is l'kabel ol malchut shemayim, to accept the yoke of heaven. And since the mitzvah is to accept the yoke of heaven, we are always obligated to accept the yoke of heaven. So it's the first mitzvah, and it's always a constant mitzvah. So that's why we begin with this mitzvah. So the Masechta begins with, Me'emasai koren ashma ba'arvin. The Mishnah asks, what's the time to read Shema in the evening? The Torah says, read Shema b'shach b'chov kumecha, when you lay down and when you wake up. So what's the definition of laying down to read Shema? So the first opinion in the Mishnah is, Mishasha kohanim nichnasim le'chol b'tshumasan. The time to read Shema happens to be the same time when a kohen who's tameh could go in and start eating truma. So what does that mean? If a kohen was impure, he has to go to the mikvah, and he can't eat truma until he becomes pure. He becomes pure when there's something called he'erev shemesh, the sun fully sets. The sun fully sets once the stars come out. So the kohen has to wait till the stars come out to be able to eat truma. That's the time to read Shema. So when's the time to read Shema? Really, the Mishnah is trying to say the time to read Shema is when the stars come out. But instead of saying when the stars come out, it says when the kohen can eat truma, which is the same thing as when the stars come out. Until when? Ad sof hashmura rishona, until the end of the first shift of angels. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's the view of Rabbi Eliezer. The sages say, no, it's ad chatzos, until the middle of the night. So apparently there are different shifts of angels. When the first shift finishes, that's the end of the time of reading Shema. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the sages disagree. They say until midnight. And Rabbi Gamliel, the third opinion, says, ad shiyala amud ha-shachar, that the time to read Shema is, again, from when the stars come out until the morning rises. That was a story in the Mishnah, Masa Uva Ubanami Beis HaMishta. There was a story when the children of Rabbi Gamliel came from a party, from a wedding. Amrullah, they told their father, Lo Karinu Shema, bad news, we haven't yet read Shema, and apparently it was post-midnight. Amrullahem, so their father tells them, Imlo Alamud HaShachar Hayav Matem Likros, no problem, if the sun hasn't yet risen, you should still read Shema, because it's still the time to read Shema. And then he explained, V'lozu b'lvad amru. This is not the only scenario, but elakol ma'ashamu chacham ad chatzos. Whenever you find the sages saying that you only have till midnight to do a mitzvah, really mitzvahs on the biblical mitzvahs, ad shi'al amra shachar, the biblical mitzvahs all night until there's morning. So therefore, hekter chalav ve'evarim, let's say when it comes to offering pieces of a karban, the burning of the fats and the limbs, mitzvahs on ad shi'al amra shachar, the mitzvahs all night. The various karbanos that are supposed to be eaten for one day, like the karban toda, mitzvahs and achiyalam rashachar, the mitzvahs to eat them all night, till the morning. Imke lama amru chacham ad chatzos, but why did the sages say till midnight? Kedei laharchik adam in ha'avera, to keep a person away from sin. In other words, the sages said, you have to reach Shema by midnight in order to prevent a person from thinking, oh, I can keep delaying it, I'll do it later, I'll end up never doing it. So to keep a person from delaying and delaying to the point of negligence, they say, you know, you have a limit, you have to do it by midnight. But really, a person, biblically, can fulfill the mitzvah the whole night, and that's why you came home late, so you can still fulfill the mitzvah, at least biblically, so read Shema. Okay, that's the Mishnah. So again, the Mishnah teaches, what is the time to read Shema? Says the Mishnah, the time to read Shema is when the stars come out. And it uses a very strange way of saying when the stars come out. When Kohanim, who were impure, can become pure to be able to eat Truma. And that is, you know, after they had gone to the mikvah, the sun is fully set, when the stars come out. So the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara says, you know, the first Gemara, Mechti, let's take a look. Kohanim emas ka'achbi b'truma. When do the Kohanim eat Truma? Mishas seisa kochavim. When the stars come out. So why didn't the Mishnah just say, when's the time to read Shema? When the stars come out? Why does it say the time to read Shema is when the Kohanim can eat Shema? Answers the Gemara, Milsa Agav Urcha Kamashmalan, there's something that's being taught to us indirectly. And that is, Kohanim Emas Ka'achi B'Shuma, Kohanim, when do they eat Shuma? Misha Seisa Kochavim, once the stars come out. V'ha Kamashmalan, so the Chiddush is, to Kapara Loma Akva. Sometimes you have a type of impurity that only becomes fully pure once sacrifices are offered by the impure person. But even though there's a need for sacrifices for full purity, But at least in terms of eating truma, he could eat truma even before the sacrifices were offered, just so long as the sun has fully set and the stars have come out. Okay, that's the Gemara. Now let's see a comment of Rav Kook. So this is letter Aleph on the bottom, the commentary of Rav Kook to Masechta Brachos. May Masai Korin Ashma Ba'arvis, from what time can we read Shema in the evening? Answers the Mishnah. Misha'a, from the hour Sha'kohanim Nichnasim Lechol B'Truma Sun, from when the Kohanim can enter to eat their Truma. Says Rav Kook, Kriyat Shema Shal Arvis V'Shal Shachris. The reading of Shema in the evening and of the morning. Morim Al Shnei Minei HaKriya B'Shem Hashem HaMuteles Al Yisrael. It indicates the two types of calling in the name of Hashem that is incumbent on the Jewish people. On the one hand, we need to accept the yoke of heaven upon ourselves. But we also have a second obligation to accomplish, to calling out in the name of the one God of ours, that ultimately Yakiru v'yedu kol yoshvei tevel, they should recognize and know all those who live on earth. Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, that God, the Lord of Israel, is the absolute King, u'malchuto bakol mashala, and He rules over all. When we read Shema, there are really two meanings to the reading of Shema. Rashi says, we say Shema Yisrael, hear Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, God is our Lord, God is one. Of course God is one. What do we think? He's one or two? So Rashi says, what does it mean God is one? No matter what happens, it comes from God. Good things, difficult things, it all comes from God. God is one. Another explanation, says Rashi, God is one. What does it mean? Now only we, the Jewish people, recognize God. But in the future, the whole world will recognize God. All of humanity will recognize God. So then God will be one. Now he's ours, then he'll be one God. Everyone will recognize him. These two explanations are really two different aspects of reading Shema. For ourselves, we need to accept that God is our king. That it all comes from God. That he's in charge. No matter what, good, bad, it all comes from God. But then there's another aspect, which is we need to publicize to the world that ultimately they also are under God. We have to teach the whole world that everything is under the Almighty, that everything is under His control. So that's an obligation to teach the whole world that everything is under the Almighty. It's all under God. And so that's what we're saying. We read Shema for two purposes, both for ourselves as well as for, you know, informing the world of the fact that God is in charge of all. Says Rav Kook, Hinei begalus, when we are in exile, Hadom la erev, which is like evening, Ikar pu'lasenu hu rak benogea la'atzmenu. Our primary efforts are only for ourselves. Kidei la'amod bifnei hagalim ha'ovrim aleinu, in order to withstand the waves that are washing over us, Ba'oz Shem Hashem, with the great strength of the name of God. Alkein, therefore, Balaila, at night, Shayach Emuna. At night, that's a symbol of exile. And in exile, we can't possibly try to teach the rest of the world. We're facing so many challenges, so many difficulties. Our emphasis has to be to strengthen our own faith, to have strong faith, and to be strong to withstand the tremendous waves that are coming against us. That's why, in the text of Davening, after the Kriyat Shema of night, we say a blessing, Emet ve'emunah, true and faithful. These words are faithful. We have faith. At night, we talk about faith. Mishlo amar emet ve'emunah arvis lo yatsi dechovasa. Gemara is going to say later, if someone doesn't say the blessing of truth and faithfulness at night, he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. Kila atzmenu, because when we deal with ourselves, Dai lanu he'emuna. It's enough for us, our faith. The kabbalas emes me'avoseinu, and the true emes that we have received from our ancestors. Shera'u ayin ba'ayin or Hashem u'kvodo, that they saw eye to eye the light of God and His honor. Amnam, however, be'et ha'geula, at the time of redemption, shetarum keren Yisrael, when the horn of Israel will be uplifted, az me'mela tavo sha'at ha'pu'ula shel kriyat shema d'shachrit. When there is light in the world, when there is redemption, the Jewish people will be honored. The Jewish people won't be harassed and persecuted. So then it'll be a new time, a time of the Kriyat Shema of the morning. That's the time when the blessing is Ahava Rabba, great love. Shekola Amim Yomru, and all the nations will say, Sheor Yisrael Yiyel Or Olam. The light of Israel will be the light of the world. Okay, that's why us in the future world, Yitgalu Ta'amei Torah, the reasons, the secrets of Torah will be revealed. V'lo yihye od or yikarot v'kipa'on, we won't have any more a frozen light, Elu Ta'amei Torah, that's a reference to the reasons of Torah, sheyikarim bo'olam hazeh, that are precious in this world, k'fuyim yihyu lo'olam haba, they will be frozen away in the world to come. Kilaman karev rechokim, because when we want to bring those who are far close, ra'ui levarer divrei emet bebirur, what we have to do is we have to clearly understand the matters of truth. Uletargema davar kafim musagam achitzoni shel ha'amim, and then we need to translate that into the external comprehension of the nations. Okay, and that's why Emet V'Yatziv Shachris, and the morning blessing of Emet V'Yatziv, Meturgemet Aramit. There's a word in Aramaic, V'Yatziv. We have some Aramaic there, because we are teaching the rest of the world. Rav Kook says here a very powerful idea. He says there are two themes to Kriyat Shema. There's the message to us to believe in God, to have faith. There's one God, even in the darkness, it's God. There's another message, which is to the world. There's one God, even over the rest of the world, it's only God. But there are two times. There's when Jews are in exile. When Jews are in exile, the emphasis has to be to have faith, to have emunah, to have trust that it comes from God, that God's in charge of everything. And then there's when Jews are in a state of redemption. When Jews are in a state of redemption, we need to translate our faith to the rest of the world. We need to teach them. When we need to teach the rest of the world about God, when that's our obligation, when it's our task to teach the world about God, we need to take the truths of Judaism and we need to boil them down into terms that the rest of the world can grasp and put it into their language, put it into their ways of comprehension, their ways of grasping. So that's why the evening Shema is accompanied with a blessing about faith, because it's only for us when we are in exile. And the morning Shema has a blessing that has words of Aramaic because we have to translate ideas of our religion to the entirety of the world in a language that the rest of the world can get, in a language that they can understand. You know, I had over earlier in the year someone who had been a teacher of Chana's when she was in Israel. So, you know, I always talk to Israeli Jews, how they're doing, how they figure out the miracle of having a parnasa while living in Israel. So I said to him, you know, you're living in Israel, your kids are in Israel, how do they make ends meet? He said, you know, my daughter, she's an accountant, she studied, she got a degree. And my son-in-law, he has a business. Lots of goyim come to Israel as tourists. So he has an apartment that he rented, a visitor center. And he teaches them about Judaism. Especially the Chinese. Chinese come and he makes for them chalent, kugel, explains what chalent is, what kugel is, what Shabbos is, you know, why Jews wear a yarmulke, you know, basic ideas, you know, what it is to be a Jew. So this is like a little bit of what Rav Kook is saying. When Mashiach comes, all the nations of the world are going to want to find out. They're all going to ask, you know, what Shabbos? Why do you wear a yarmulke? Why do you have tzitzis? And they want us to explain it to them, But to explain it to them in a way that they can grasp, it has to be in their language, it has to be translated, it has to be with the types of things that they can connect to. And that's our obligation to explain all of that to them. Yisrael, the Jewish people, Hem Kohanei Hashem Ba'olam, are the priests of God in the world. When Hashem gave us the Torah, he said, Va'atem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim, you will be a kingdom of priests. So the Jews as a whole are Kohanim. And the world as a whole, all of humanity, is like the nation of Israel. So mitzad askam b'inyaneim ha'pnimim b'inam levein atzmam v'davar ein lehem azim zarim domim l'kohanim lo be'et yoru Torah o afilu be'et yakrivu korbanot sh'az yesh lehem yachasim zarim she'im ha'kol panim osim avuram shluchei didan o shluchei dirachmana. אבל שלוחים הם. אמנם בעת כניסתם לאכול בתשומה, הם נכנסים לעולם הכהני כולו. אסור להשתתף עם הזר כלל, כי אין לזר חלק באכילה זו כלל, וטעון הבדלה ממנו. Says Rav Kook, there's a difference. There are two roles that a Kohen has. When we think of Kohanim, we think of the priests, the God's group. So God's group has one job, to teach Torah. The Navi Malachi says, Ki siftei kohen yishmeru da, Torah yavakshim yipiyu ki malach Hashem tzvakot hu, for the lips of the Kohen will preserve wisdom, and they'll seek Torah from his mouth, for he is the emissary of God. And the Kohen has to offer sacrifices. And when the Kohen offers sacrifices, the Gemara has a whole question. Is the Kohen the emissary of God? Is the Kohen the emissary of the Jewish people who brought the sacrifice? But when he offers sacrifices, he has a connection to the Jewish people, either as God's representative on their behalf or their representative. He's doing a job with a connection to us. When he teaches us Torah, clearly he has a connection to us. But then the Kohen has a job where he has no connection to us. When the Kohen eats truma, I as a non-Kohen can't be near it. In fact, according to the Gemara in Masechet Chulin, a non-Kohen maybe is not even allowed to eat at the same table as a Kohen eating Truma. So he's just with Kohanim then. So now we understand our Gemara. What does the Mishnah say during the time of the Kriyat Shema of evening? When's the time of Kriyat Shema of evening? When Kohanim go into their rooms to eat Truma. They were impure, they became pure, they can eat Truma. When is that? When the stars come out. So why didn't he just tell us when the stars come out? Now, I want to mention to you, it's the same time when Kohanim can eat Truma. Why is that so significant? Because when Kohanim eat Truma, it's just amongst themselves. At night, when we are in exile, our focus has to be on ourselves. The world's not ready to hear Judaism. So now we focus on ourselves. In the morning, we can have another role of a Kohanim. When redemption comes, we can be the Kohanim offering sacrifices for humanity. We can be the Kohanim teaching humanity. But at night, it's just Kohanim amongst Kohanim. In exile, the focus of Kriyat Shema is Jews among Jews. It's the focus on faith. Hashem Echad, as in the God who is there in all situations. Kain's man Kriyat Shema shel Arvis Haklalis. So it is when we talk about Kriyat Shema of the evening. Goremes Lios Yisrael Am Levadad. That causes the Jewish people to be a singular, lonely nation. Kedei lahagein al kinyanav hakdoshim, to protect his holy acquisitions. Chaye Olam, eternal life. Sheshem Hashem Yisbarach b'tocho, with the name of God inside of it. Hakein yesh musak shol yachas, and now we understand there's a connection. Bin kriyat shma shol arvis, reading the shma at night, l'sha'asha kohanim nichnasim le'achol b'tshumatan, to the hour when the priests can go in to eat their truma. So Rav Kook here is addressing, you know, a major point, which is one of the challenges, I presume, of his generation, was that these young idealistic rebels were saying, well, isn't Judaism supposed to be concerned with all of humanity?
we believe that humanity will be better off when capital is eliminated and everybody shares in the great communist nirvana, which was popular at the turn of the 20th century. And I said, oh, you religious Jews, you're so provincial. You're only focused on Jews and on Jewish concerns. You have to be concerned with all of the world. Rav Kook says, you're making a mistake. When you are in exile, you're only going to be concerned with yourself. That's the job. That's our task. You want to be concerned with the world? That's a good thing. That means you want to be connected to redemption. In the state of redemption, the Jewish people help the whole world. We teach the whole world. But right now, we're still in exile. In exile, our focus has to be on strengthening the Jewish people. And when we focus on ourselves, the message of Kriyat Shema is to have faith in God despite all the difficulties of exile. There are difficulties, persecutions, tragedies. But we still have faith in God no matter what. We know God is behind it all. We know God is with us. And we have faith in God. And we hold on to God. And we don't let go of God. And the other nations can't understand that. We're not going to teach that to them. They're never going to understand that. That's us. When redemption will come, then already we'll start teaching them. But right now, we have to focus on us. So the Mishnah uses a very powerful symbol of focusing on us. When a Kohen is relating to eating truma, that's only for Kohanim. The non-Kohanim never can eat truma. So there's a time when the Kohanim are focused on their service, but it's only for Kohanim. Only the Kohanim come into the table to eat truma. When we are in exile, we, the nation that is Kohanim, Amlechet Kohanim, we focus on ourselves. We focus on our own emunah, on our faith, despite everything. But we know that there's another Mishnah coming. The Mishnah reading Shema in the morning. We'll read Shema in the morning, then already we're going to start to teach the nations of the world about the one God. Then we'll start to translate the principles of Judaism into the language of the nations. Then already we'll have words of Aramaic. Then already we can be concerned with the rest of the world. But in exile, our concern has to be on us. And when we're concerned with us, the message is faith. Trust in Hashem, despite all the situations. Emes v'emunah. And that's the job of the Kohen for the Kohen. Just like eating truma is a job that the Kohanim do without including other Jews, so to the faith is a faith of ours without including others in that faith necessarily. That's the first piece of Rav Kook here. So then the Gemara said, why didn't it just say the time to read Shema is when the stars come out? The Gemara says, well, it's teaching you that the Kohen can eat Truma once the stars come out. He doesn't have to wait until he offers the sacrifices in the morning. So we mentioned that there is some element of purification through the offering of sacrifices, but that added element is not a requirement. The requirement is just that the time come of the sun setting and the stars coming out. Says Rav Kook here in passage B's, Shnei dvarim shonim yesh b'tahara. There are two aspects to purification. One is hasibah shel hazman. Time has to pass. She'ena taluya b'mitaher. That's not a function of what the man becoming pure is doing. We're on the third line here in the second column, on the first page still. You know, whether the man does something or he doesn't do anything, once the time comes, he becomes somewhat pure. She'en hasibah shel hakapara. Then there's an aspect of bringing offerings. Now that he needs to do. Tuyabo, that's something he needs to do. Gam b'Yisrael. And so it is with the Jewish people. Le'inyan kriyat shema. In terms of declaring faith. Le'inyan kriyat shem Hashem b'chlal. In terms of declaring God's name to the world. Shushorsh b'chiratan shel Yisrael. This is why the Jews are chosen, because we declare God. Yeshnam shneim dvarim. There are two aspects here. Number one, Azman. There's an element of time. Shem ein adayin Azman mukhshar. If the time's not yet ready. Kagon kodem matan Torah. Such as before God gave us the Torah. Lo haya olam yichol adayin lekabel or Torah. The world couldn't get Torah then. Haya olam ba'afela. The world was in darkness. So sometimes the time is there that the world's not ready. And then there's another point. There are things we're supposed to do. Hakapara. We're supposed to bring offerings. Teshuvatan shel Yisrael. The Jewish people should repent. Lavi orash lema l'olam. Through our repentance, we'll bring the full light. We'll bring redemption to the world. Vine, and therefore, l'inyan kriyat shem Hashem ba'olam, in terms of declaring God's name to the world, shetiyeh be'et ha'gula shlema, that'll be at the time of the full redemption. Alzeh ma'akiv gam kein kapara, for that we need to have offerings. For the mourning, we need offerings too. Dainu teshuvas anshel Yisrael, what do you mean offerings? We need to repent. Shadavar tali b'tshuva, through the Jewish people repenting, we'll be able to get to full redemption. Avalenian kriyat shma shel arvis, but in terms of declaring faith at night, which is kriyat shema shem aleinu la'atzmenu, which is declaring to ourselves that God is there, faith in God in all situations. Ein davar yachol akev, that's something that's not dependent on human action. Time arrives, you can declare it. That's the following idea. Even when Jews are sinning, we are called God's children. Sometimes the Jew doesn't have faith. That's just something which is a function of time. He doesn't have faith right now, but he will have faith. The faith will come out. Maybe the time's not yet ready for his faith to come out. But it will come out. Because a Jew deep down believes. Before we got the Torah, there were Jews who didn't believe. But then Torah came and we all believed. Aval kapara. But to the offering of offerings. We don't need to wait for offerings in order to say our faith. Hadom alachilas hakohen atshuma, like a kohen eating truma. A kohen can eat truma even if he didn't bring offerings. The time will come when the kohen can eat truma. Al zeh ne'emar, that's what the verse says about faith. Eiza sefer krisus emchem. Where is the book of divorce of your mother? And kilo yitosh Hashem amo, for God will never leave his people. And so in terms of eating truma, in terms of our own personal faith, that's something which the Gemara says is a function of time, because it'll always come out. In terms of teaching faith to the whole world, that the Gemara says is a function of bringing karbanos, the mourning. Well, maybe we will, maybe we won't. We have to repent. It's dependent on our actions. There's no guarantee that we'll repent. Maybe someone else will, another generation. But in terms of faith, that's built into the world. It's built into the Jewish neshama. The Jew who doesn't believe, it's only temporary. It can't last. Eventually the Jew is going to believe. The faith that's within the Jew is going to come out. It's part of the way the Jew is made. The emuna will come out. It has to come out. The kriyat shema of night will have to come out. Sun sets, wait a little bit, then you can say it. Sun sets, it's exile, it's difficult, the Jew doesn't believe. Wait a little bit, it's going to come back out. He will believe, he will express his faith. It's built into the very fabric of the world. That's what Rav Kook teaches. So, to summarize what we learned from Rav Kook teaches that there are two messages in Kriyat Shema. One message is an exile message, and one message is a redemptive message. The exile message is we have to have faith in God, even in darkness. And that faith is built into the Jewish nature. It's guaranteed to happen. And it's only for us. The nations of the world don't understand it. There is also a redemptive Kriyat Shema. The Kriyat Shema of teaching the whole world about God, translating our religion to the world, and inspiring the world. That is not so simple. That'll be in the redemptive era. And when that, to get to that era, that requires some offering of sacrifices. That requires our repentance. It requires our actions. There's no guarantee that we'll get there. There is a guarantee we'll all get to faith, but that we should actually carry out our actions of repentance and be deserving of a higher, of of spreading faith, that there's no guarantee. That takes action, that requires investment of action. And when we invest, we'll get there. Bezrat Hashem, we'll get there. These are some ideas of Rav Kook. Thank you.